Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Aware that you have access to the guidance of a streaming presence of infinite intelligence? It's a presence that is always working for you as the voice of your inner genius. Rather than listening to the habitual voice of fear, this innate and powerful voice within is a wise internal source of love and wisdom. Today, we'll be exploring how to tap into this voice of genius and vitality with our guest, Tama Keeves. Tama Keeves graduated with honors from Harvard Law School, but chose to leave a prestigious law firm to become a teacher and workshop leader and author of many books, including Learning to Trust Yourself, Breaking Through the Blocks That Hold You Back. So please join us for the next hour as we explore the roadmap of listening to our inner wisdom with our guest, Tama Keeves. I'm speaking with Tama in her home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Tama, welcome.
I'm so honored to be here. I'm thrilled.
Oh, thank you so much. And please know it's our honor as well. And I just want to go, first of all, I mentioned about our inner guidance, inner teacher. Okay, what is this guide?
You know, for me, and I talk a lot about this in Learning to Trust Yourself, I think it's like learning to listen to this inner voice of love inside us instead of an inner voice of fear. And I think it's our highest intelligence. I'm not going to say that I know affirmatively this is God or light or spirit or whatever. For me, it feels like that. For me, that inner guide is kind of a liaison between all that is and all the love and all the possibilities and my limited understanding. It's like the translator. And so it serves me well.
It does, and it serves me well, too. I also feel that there is this inner guidance. If we stop long enough to listen to it, to actually tune into it, Tama, we are really focused on outer circumstances, like, the status of our health or our financial stability or the fact that we don't have enough time. First, stop and check in with this voice. So I'd love for you to just share with us why this might be a good first action on our part.
Yeah, so I think a lot of us are so focused, like you said, on external goals and things we have to accomplish or things we have to prevent or things that, are going on. And I don't think it's managing the circumstances as much as it's managing our interpretation of the circumstance, managing our thoughts about the circumstance. Because when I'm in my right mind, when I'm in my loving mind, when I'm connected, I see every circumstance completely differently. I see, you know, I'm more at peace. I'm more resourceful. I'm inspired. And so I don't feel as small. I don't feel as terrified. I don't feel as lost. And when I'm disconnected, everything seems big and overwhelming. Also, you know, and I teach A Course in Miracles, and I come from a lot of that training. And one of the things that it says is that, you know, so often we're trying to manage outside conditions or circumstances so that we will find peace of mind. But actually, to your point, if I find peace of mind, I will know what to do in every circumstance, right? So, and so for me, when I wrote Learning to Trust Yourself, it was really about cultivating that relationship with myself, cultivating a relationship of kindness, of self-empowerment, of self-advocacy, of really learning how to listen to a non-critical mind, right? Because a lot of times, you know, when we talk about listen to your inner voice, listen to your inner guidance, really what it is stop listening to your negative voice. Stop listening to that critical voice inside you. You know, I guess if I could say one thing that really inspired me to write Learning to Trust Yourself and is my work right now, is that I really realized that when I started having a different kind of relationship with myself, I had a different relationship with the universe. When I stopped being critical of myself, I could finally hear an inner voice and hear an inner love. So what I want listeners to know is you can't be listening to self-criticism and the harsh voice that's going on all the time and then open to the powers of the universe. It doesn't work that way. And when I say listening to that harsh voice, I also mean the voice that's talking about you have to be practical, you have to be reasonable, you're too old, you're too young, you missed the boat, you know, you missed 10 boats, you know, of if you are listening to that voice, it's impossible to hear the plan for your life, the purpose for your life, the path for your life. So that's what I wanted you to know.
I love that. You know, in reading your book, it just reminded me of an interview that I did some time ago with someone named Mae McCarthy. Mm-hmm. And she's a CEO and works with a lot of teams of people. And she said that every day when she starts her day, she checks in, and I think you really love this, she checks in with her CSO. And like, we have our chief executive officer, CEO, or CFO, chief financial officer. Every morning she checks in with her chief spiritual officer.
I love it. I love
it. Don't you love it?
I love it. Yes.
Don't you love it?
Yes.
It's what you were saying is paying attention not to our agitated mind, but
yes,
to something,
yes,
to this calm river of wisdom,
yes,
that,
yes,
we can tap into.
That's always there. It's always there. And you know, I mean, for me, this was a life-changing insight for me. I didn't come by this naturally, you know, of like I had done everything wrong, which is how I got to, you know, I wouldn't say everything wrong, but just I had not been listening to an inner voice. I'd been listening to the external voice of society, and it caused me a lot of pain. And so, you know, my backstory of creating all this was, you know, when I was young, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to write. That was my dream. I loved writing. But I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and my family's Orthodox Jewish. And I got, you know, you're going to write? You're going to starve. You're going to write. You know, just that was the end of that, right? You know, that was the go for your dreams talk. And I was told, you know, be practical, be reasonable. And so I went to law school and I got accepted to Harvard Law School. And I was graduated with honors from Harvard Law School. And I was on partnership track in a major law firm. And I was so unhappy, as all of us are when we're not listening when we're really not listening and paying attention to what's ours and ours alone, and that loving voice, which might be different than what everybody else is saying. It's an original voice within you of infinite intelligence, but I didn't listen to it, and I was so unhappy because I had all this external success, but it was empty. It wasn't me. It wasn't my success. And thank God a friend at the time said something amazing. He said, you know, think about it. If you've been this successful doing something you don't even love, what could you do with what you love? Right? And that was like, wow. You know, I'd built my whole life on should and fear and what you should do. And it never even occurred to me to build my life on love, what I loved. And so I left everything, you know, without a plan. I left everything to say, what would happen if I decided to listen to this other inner voice, this inner voice of love, what I really wanted, or at least to find out what I really wanted? Because you don't always know. You're so conditioned. You're so programmed, right? The opinions are so strong. And so that's what began my entire journey. And that's why I'm such an advocate at this time in my life for anyone listening. You have a maverick intelligence within you. You have an original destiny within you. There is no one on this planet like you. No one knows your way like you do. It's learning how to listen to that loving intelligence moment by moment. It is the source of everything good in my life. It created I got to write my books. I got to teach thousands of people. I get to speak to people like you. I get to motivate other people to find their genius. And for me, the ripple effects of listening to that inner voice, it's not just for us, it's for the world.
Well, when you leaped out, you really, and you said you did it without a plan. You even worked as a waitress for a while. That was kind of fun. I mean, you learned some things there that you might possibly didn't learn at your law firm.
Yes,
right.
You know, it's part of the thing I suggest in terms of listening to an inner voice is letting yourself play. Letting yourself play. Like, that was such a forbidden idea for me. I wanted to wait tables. It sounded fun to me. It sounded like, wow, I don't have to sue anybody. I just get to talk to people. It sounded lower responsibility in some ways, or, you know, and it just sounded fun. But my brain was like, you can't do that. You went to Harvard Law. You can't serve nachos. You know, it's like, you know, and it was one of those revelations I had that just said, you know, I got a higher education to increase my opportunities in life, not to limit them. And isn't that good? I mean, that was like one of the revelations
great.
I had, that so many people achieve or do things to increase the freedom in their life, but then they use it to inhibit the freedom in their life. Right. And so I just wanted to free people to say, let yourself play, because you don't know. And by experimenting, exploring, giving yourself permission, that's how you bump into what's natural and right for you. And, you know, when I was waiting tables, I had no idea that I was good with people. I had no idea before that. And I was actually a horrible waitress. But I was funny. I would make people, I would be like, oh, you don't want to sit here. You definitely don't want to sit here. If you want to get served well, I think you really should. If you're in a rush, you definitely want to sit here. You know, and so.
I love it.
I didn't know that people, that I was good with people, but I found that out through following some playful instinct, and I found one of my deepest gifts. So I'm encouraging people to experiment and give yourself permission.
Exactly. I love it. I'm talking with Tama Keeves. She is the author of Learning to Trust Yourself, Breaking Through the Blocks That Hold You Back. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Tama Keeves, and I want to tell you, as a listener, how you can be in touch with her. Her website is TamaKeeves.com. And I'm going to give you a little longer website, TamaKeeves.com/best-tool, because this gives you a free download that you'll really want to tap into. And I want to spell her name, Tama, T-A-M-A, Keeves, K-I-E-V-E-S.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. We're talking about like jumping off, feeling the joy and the freedom to unlimit yourself in some way. I love that you tell many, many stories in the book. You really reveal yourself. I so appreciate that. It's so beautifully done. And one of the voices that we often have for ourselves is, I never get what I want. That's one of many voices. And because we're storytellers, so we tell ourselves a story over and over and over again. And you tell this wonderful story about when you were a young girl and you never got red shoes. And you held this story for decades. Share with us.
I'd be happy to, because it was like, you know, part of the context was exactly what you said. I started looking at how can I believe in a loving universe and tell other people to believe in a loving universe while I had these beliefs that were painful. Like I would say, oh, you know, there, you know, that we're meant to do what we're meant to do. We'll be supplied. We'll have the information of. But then it would have this belief that said, I never get what I want. I never get what I want. Started listening to this unconscious belief that came up. You know, if a client canceled, I never get what I want. If something fell through, oh, I knew it. I was never going to get what I want. So to your point, I tracked it down to a particular story in my life, which I'll tell. But I guess what I want people to know is that you're not seeing your life as much as you're seeing your beliefs about your life. And that's what I want you to start shifting. I want you to start looking at your interpretations of things that happen, because the mind works that way. The mind literally, you'll have a belief and you will literally look for the evidence that matches that belief. You will see the evidence that matches your belief. You will block out everything else. So you won't be seeing life. You won't be seeing the infinite things that are coming your way all the time, because you're literally looking for these negative beliefs. So anyways, I looked at this in my life and I thought, where did this come from? And I remember this story when I was a young girl. I was shopping with my mother in a department store in Alexander's, and I saw these red shoes, and I was like, oh my God, my heart lit up. I had to have the red shoes. I really, really wanted these red shoes. But I knew my mother's a very practical woman, and she was never going to go for it. You know, I knew she was going to say, oh, look, the green elf shoes, they're on sale. They'll be perfect. You know, what do you need with the red shoes? Right. So, but that day, it was like the heavens opened up, and she bought the red shoes. She bought me the red shoes, and my little girl heart was so alive, and I was so excited. And we got them in the shopping bag, and then we lost the shopping bag. So we lost the red shoes. But like, I was like, exactly. It was like, oh my God, my heart broke in a million pieces. And I think as a little girl, I formed the belief right then and there, see, I'll never get what I want. Even if it comes close, I'll never get what I want. And when I looked back at that belief, I started realizing that I took one disappointment in life, one disappointment, and I globalized it. I said, I'll never, ever get what I want in anything. I took that feeling of disappointment and I closed my heart and I thought, I'm not going to even hope for what I want. I'll never get it. Right. So I just shut my heart down to life. And so it was so powerful to see that story and start working with those beliefs. The insane thing about this is that years later, I talked to my mother about it. I was telling her about, remember that time and we lost the shoes? And she looked at me and said, what are you talking about? We got those shoes. And I was like, yeah, I know we got the shoes, but then we lost the bag, you know? And she's like, Yeah, we lost the bag. We went back to the department store. They found it. And you got those red shoes. And I did not remember that to save my soul. I did not. I remembered my belief about reality. I did not remember my reality, which is frightening. I remembered my belief. I remembered my interpretation. That is the world I lived in. And I literally blocked out what was true. And we are doing that all the time. We are living in this, in the stories we tell ourselves, in the stories we tell ourselves. And for me, the work of being free in this lifetime is to really learn to undo those stories so that we can hear a truth, that we can hear a loving voice. And I do want to clarify that a loving voice for me is not always rainbows, and it's not always, oh, you're going to get everything you want, you know, and the universe gives you everything you want. For me, a lot of it is growth. And sometimes there are challenging circumstances in life, but there is always another way to be in it that's empowering, that's loving, that's inspiring, that's like, for this I came, right? But you cannot be inspired when you're listening to a critical voice. You can't be inspired when you're listening to an old story. So that's why I always work with stories.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And that just reminds me when you say we don't always get it exactly as we envision it, so to speak, or whatever. But you also talk about how we must not run away from difficult feelings. Mm-hmm. And you also encourage us to be in the difficult feelings, not to run away from them and to ignore them, but to hold two things at once, to feel the pain, but also the willingness to work with the sacred powers.
Yes.
When
yes.
we're feeling powerless.
Yes.
I'd love for you to unpack that for us a bit.
That, you know, that's from a piece in the book called Instructions for Your Brave Place. Instructions for Your Brave Place. And I love running from pain. I would prefer it. It doesn't work, however. It's not a good strategy. And my own healing has been really learning to do exactly what you just mapped out, which is to really somehow open to the pain, not resist it, not be afraid of it, go into it, right? So I'll give you an example. Like for me, I'm a writer. And so, you know, I always want to be inspired and write something beautiful, but that's not always the deal with writing. I have to be in the painful place of it's not happening. I feel horrible. I'm worried about my life. You know, I feel like I'm not talented. I'm old now. I'm this, I'm that, you know. I have to allow those feelings and not resist them, to even try loving them, loving that part of myself that feels that way. It's a part of myself that's feeling this way. And so to not be afraid of it, not to like resist it, shove it away, try to have a positive thought, but to really almost like allow myself to say, that's okay, honey, I'm here. That's okay, honey. Tell me more. I know you feel this way. I'm here. That's okay. And at the same time, like you said, to have this willingness, I may not ever believe that things are going to work out. I may not ever believe the ship is going to come in. I'm going to heal from this disease. I'm going to write the next best-selling book. I'm going to make the money I need. I may not believe that. I may be stuck. But can I have the willingness to say, I'm willing to believe, I'm willing that there might be a possibility. I don't have to see how, I don't have to know it, but I'm willing to admit that maybe there is a higher power. Maybe there is a higher source. Maybe there is another way. I'm willing at least. And so the befriending the pain part is me coming from love. Right? Because when I am resisting, I'm in fear, I'm shutting down. But like, if I'm just going to be with it, like you'd be with a good friend who was hurting, right? Like that beingness is opening your heart. So I'm back in that source of love so things can start flowing again. And that willingness is to say, I don't need to know how from my brain. I'm just willing to believe that maybe there's more of an inspired source than I'm aware of. And maybe there are possibilities here I can't yet imagine. And I'm not going to stay so stuck in my story of reality, my belief about reality, how I see it, and that there's no windows, there's no doors, there's no other way to see it. Because when we're in fear and pain and anger, we're just so stuck in one perception of it that we can't imagine anything else. And so I can't imagine it when I'm in fear, right? It doesn't feel real. It feels hokey. It feels whatever. But I can at least say, I'm willing to see this differently.
I love that.
I'm willing to see this differently.
And you know, Tama, you have a phrase of one of our inner voices. You call it a guide of fearless possibility.
Yes.
I love that phrase. And that's what you're talking about is like, okay, like in these turbulent times, maybe a lot of us are feeling despair.
Yes.
And like we can't do enough and we can't yes. affect any sort of change and we're just kind of paralyzed. Mm-hmm. But you're saying love that place. Mm-hmm. Love the despair.
Yes.
And
or at least accept it or be with it. At least stop resisting it, hating it. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. Right? Because that shuts down that flow.
It shuts down the flow. Exactly. Yes.
And I love that fearless possibility, too, because it's just that it's an acceptance of each one of us. We came here for this. We may be in doubt. We may be in pain. But there is another part of you that is not. We came here for this. We are sources of strength. We are maverick souls. There is an intelligence in each of us. And if each of us is listening to that one guidance in us, there's that ripple and that ripple and that ripple. And we can't see how and we don't know how. But I have to remind myself, there's a Joan of Arc, I think, said, I am not afraid. I was born for this.
Mm.
Is that not great? Joan of Arc, I'm not afraid. I was born for this.
Yes.
Right. And so I remind myself that when I am afraid, is that some part of me, you know, some part of me is not afraid. It's in fearless possibility. And all I need to do to get to that fearless possibility is to stop rejecting my feelings. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be frustrated. I'm not saying indulge it. I'm not saying start a support group around it or start, you know, drinking wine and whining. I'm not saying that. It's just saying I'm willing to accept part of me feels this way and I'm willing to be with that part and say they're there. It's okay. It's all right. I'm not going to indulge it. I'm not going to let it drive the bus. Right. I'm not going to let it steer my life. I'm not going to let it be my identity. But the second I can be with it in a loving way, I've already acknowledged that there's another part of me that is stronger. Right. That strength in me that can be with things. And then I'm willing to see things differently.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. I'm here with Tama Keeves, and she is the author of many, many books and workshops in galore. And also, I love your enthusiasm and all of your brilliance. And her most recent book is Learning to Trust Yourself, Breaking Through the Blocks That Hold You Back. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Tama Keeves, and we're talking about loving that part of us that maybe is in despair or agitated or whatever it is that we're feeling that we might put a tag on.